Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. God, this morning, let these words bring the comfort, the hug that we all need from you. Help us to understand that Jesus did not pray for the world, but he prayed for us. Help us to understand that he continues to hold us tight, continues to pray for us. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So before I read the scripture, you know, I'm going to do my little,
diatribe.
Now,
monologue.
Monologue.
You got a monologue going?
No.
Disclosure.
That's it. My little disclosure statement. The reading is coming out of John, the Gospel of John, and so you know my. My thing is that, folks, you know me, I don't like the Gospel of John. I don't like preaching out of the Gospel of John, but it's the way the lectionary worked up. And it also goes to prove that even when you don't like something, there is something to be found that's useful. Amen? So, with that said, this comes from a part of John. It comes out of the 17th chapter, and it is Jesus right before the end. In other words, this is Jesus knowing that all hell is about to break loose. That in fact he's probably going to be arrested. That in fact he's going to die. He knows that he's leaving these people that have worked with him all this time. He's going to be leaving them alone. And here is the prayer that he offers. God, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is a real and eternal life, that they know you, that you are the one and only true God, and that I am the one whom you sent, and I glorified you here on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, God, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and the women that you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I have given them. And they took it, and they were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours is mine. And my life is on display in them. For I no longer am going to be visible in this world. They will continue in the world. While I return to you, Holy God, guard them as they pursue this life that you confer as a gift through me, so that they can be of one heart and mind as we are of one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them. In the pursuit of the life you gave through me, I even posted a night watch, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction. Now I am returning to you, and I am saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience that my joy is complete in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join in the world's ways, just as I didn't join in the world's ways. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but I am asking that you guard them from evil. They are no more defined by the world. They are entirely defined by you. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is a consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I am consecrating myself for their sakes, so that they will be truth consecrated in their mission. Now, you know, that's a long prayer, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot of theology in there. And I would be less than honest if I said to you, I do not know, and there's probably a good chance that not all of this is Jesus' words, just because of what we know about how the gospel was authored.
Word of mouth, and
eventually
had to be put down on paper.
Something that is really important about this prayer, because you can pray all you want. You pray about lots of things. We pray about everything, do we not? We pray for everything from a new car to getting a job to not being caught in that bar, you know, or caught in a storm, or when we get on the plane, you know, God let every other plane crash, but not this one. You know, we prayed that they would find those families that went down in Malaysia 370. We pray for all kinds of things. But here's what I think is interesting about this particular prayer. You know, even the courts do this. You know, your final words mean something. The final things that you say to people mean something. And do you know that in a court of law, that's the only thing that the court will accept that doesn't have to be whatever the rules are for making sure that it's validated? You walk in and say, this is the person's final words. The court accepts that just as it is. Yeah, right. You got to have a witness to it. Final words mean something. And this is the last time that Jesus was together with his friends and his disciples before that meal, before the night that he would be arrested and betrayed. So I find it really interesting how he prayed. He did not pray for himself. Now we all know that at this particular moment that Jesus was of what? The Jewish faith. Did he pray for the synagogue? No. He didn't pray for himself. He didn't pray for the synagogue. And as a matter of fact, at one point in the prayer, he goes out of his way to say, and by the way, I'm not praying for the world. Who he was praying for was you. The people that were going to carry out their relationships with God for the rest of their life. That, my friends, I don't care what the church does. I don't care what kind of rules and regulations the church comes up with or what kind of dogma the church comes up with. But I'll tell you what, when you're feeling low and you feel like that nobody cares, that nobody gives a damn about you, you got to remember this prayer. Because when Jesus was faced with, he could have prayed for any number of things. He could have prayed for the synagogues. He could have prayed for the world. He could have prayed. He could have, would have, should have. But instead, he looked out to the people that he lived with, the people that, as he put it, had been given to him by God. And he prayed for them. Now, how do we translate that for us? Folks, look at Gentle Spirit Christian Church this morning. See the people sitting here? These are the people that have been given to you by God. Ouch. Wait a minute, Pastor. Don't get so heavy. Don't get melodramatic. But it's true. Because I told Billy this morning, I come out as I was getting prepared for the to do this message, I came across a quote from Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey, you remember Paul Harvey?
Awesome.
You know, he was always the guy, the rest of the story,
yeah.
Stuff. Here's his quote about the church. Quote, "Too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but they're keepers of the aquarium."
Mm. Wow. Think about that for a moment.
Well, let it sink in.
No, I mean
it is the exact opposite of what Jesus was doing. It is the exact opposite of what Jesus asks us to do. It is the exact opposite of what being in relationship with God is all about. We have, in fact, in the mainline traditional churches and sometimes in this church, become the keepers of the aquarium instead of taking care of what lives in that aquarium. So when you need to try to figure out, folks, what your job is, what your responsibility is for the week, it's really simple. Pray for each other. Pray that God touches each person in your life in the same way that God touches you. Understand that God loves you unconditionally. That means that God loves all those people around you unconditionally. And yes, I will finish this with my rant for the week. You know, there are people in this church that when we get into a political conversation, it is really obvious that Pastor Paul is way over here on the left someplace.
No, I would never believe that.
And before that conversation is over, it'll be obvious that the person I'm talking with is somewhere to the right of center, which is a long ways from where I'm at, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. The reason that we can have differences of opinion is because we pray for each other daily. That's what we have forgotten. We have gotten so tangled up in being right or wrong and pointing out those people that have wronged us, that we have forgotten the example that Jesus gave us, which was simply to pray. To pray for one another. That God would touch them in a way that allows them to live their life fully. Now comes the rant. You all know what happened, or some of you know, what happened this week, or last week, on MARTA. We had two transgender folks, male to female, that were traveling that started getting hassled on the platform as they got on the train by three men. And you know how that goes, you know, everything from prove you're a boy, prove you're a girl, all that kind of stuff. And when the transgender folk defended themselves, the next thing you know, they're in a fight. On the train where nobody lifted a finger to intervene. Number two,
they lifted
a cell phone that they put on some hip-hop page. That's how we found out about this. Because they thought it was cool. I mean, I will say this again. Had you filmed that because you were going to give it to the police as evidence, that's one thing. Praise God. But you filmed it because you wanted to make a mockery of two people being beat up on a train.
Entertainment.
The one person was stripped completely naked, and at the very minimum, we ought to be seeing charges of sexual assault. Here's my deal. If you do what Jesus is admonishing us to do, then what happened on MARTA that day never happens. Do you get me? This is what I want you to get out of this. If you stand your time praying for people and the best for them and praying that God loves them just like you are loved, then you won't spend any time bitching about people. Police officer in Griffin, Georgia got shot in the back.
Yes,
Friday yesterday.
Night?
Or Friday night, something like that.
Friday night, Saturday morning.
And the bottom line is, folks, everybody keeps going around going, what do we do? What do we do? We need more guns. We need more laws. We need to have tighter control. No, friends. What you need is to pray for those people that God has given to you. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor.